Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to open the Word of God and to look into the Scriptures and to be challenged by the Scriptures and to see the biblical truths of the Christian's response to trouble. And so, Lord, we just pray that you bless your Word, that we would believe your Word and trust in it and operate according to the Scriptures. Help us, Lord, to be empowered and strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit and the Word working in us, Lord, and through us to be an encouragement to others as well. And Father, we just love and ask that you bless us. We love you, Lord, and ask that you bless us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Okay, so we're continuing going through the book of Psalms, and it's been a fantastic and wonderful time so far. We are currently in book number 2 of the 5 divisions of the book of Psalms, and we're now we're returning to the Psalms of David. So the subsequent Psalms, there's 18 Psalms of David in book number 2, and now we are in Psalm number 61 and Psalm number 62. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to the book of Psalms, and we're going to examine Psalm number 61 and Psalm number 62, okay? So, and we've already talked about this before, so you should know it, na sa ilalim ng mga numbers sa Bible, merong mga nasusulat, yan po ay bahagi ng verse number 1, at yan po ay bahagi ng mga kinasihan na salita ng Diyos. So the words that we find underneath 61 and 62, these are inspired words. They are part of the original Hebrew Masoretic text, which is basically the authentic copy of the Word of God all the way back to the originals. And so we find these precious words, and we should understand these words. And then after we look at these words, we're going to look at the outline, the contents outline, the skeletal outline of each psalm. Tapos ang matutuklasan natin, kapag pinag-aralan natin ang 61 at saka 62, halos magkaparehas sila sa emphasis ng kailangan natin manalangin at magtiwala sa Diyos. Yan talaga ang tema ng buhay ng pananampalataya. This is the central. You'll see the basic outline and the basic thought patterns are practically similar in that it urges Christians, or us as believers today, it urges us to constantly pray and trust in the Lord in times of trouble. And we'll look at this here when we get there. But let's, first of all, let's look at Psalm number 61. And let's look at the inspired headings and what they teach us. Psalm 61 says, to the chief musician upon neginah. And so neginah is singular from the neginoth, which is plural. So what is neginah? Well, it's a stringed instrument. So this is basically the songbook of Israel. They would use this to worship Jehovah God in the tabernacle during David's time, and then in the temple during Solomon's time. Pero ito yung songbook ng Israel. And so, gagamitin nila yung stringed instrument. So, sa orchestra, may iba't ibang mga instruments. There's different kinds of instruments. There's brass, there's percussion, there's woodwind, and there's strings. Well, this happens to be composed for the stringed instrument, the neginah, one stringed instrument, perhaps the harp, perhaps the lyre, perhaps a psaltery, we're not sure, but it is a stringed instrument. Either it's plucked by a single stringed instrument or played upon a single stringed instrument, but it's a neginah, singular. And so to the chief musician, we know who that is. It's Asaph. Of course, in Psalm 62, it says to the chief musician, to Jeduthun. So that's Ethan or Jeduthun. So if it's not specified, like 61 is not specified who is the chief musician, we assume that to be Asaph, because Asaph is predominant But if it's specified like 62, it's Jeduthun, then we know it's Jeduthun. There are three chief musicians. I'm sure there are others, but we know it's Ethan or Jeduthun, Asaph, or He-Man. And so you have those guys to choose from. And the main Bible verses for them are in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 16. It could be 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse number 1, or 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and 42 for Jeduthun. So anyway, to the chief musician, so upon Negina, a psalm of David. So again, David composed this, wrote this psalm. And we have a pattern here where David is reflecting upon his trouble. And one of his troubles is that his son, Absalom, attempted to take over the throne of his own father, David. So David, kumbaga parang kinukudita ni Absalom ang kaharian ng kanyang tatay na si David. And so this is trouble. It's not just political, military trouble. This is also family trouble. Not good. And what does David do in the midst of his trouble? And we find this in context in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 18. So 2 Samuel 18 could very well be the historical background for Psalm 61 and Psalm number 62. Let's look at the outline. Ano yung laman ng 61 at saka 62? The outline is very simple. It really is prayer and confidence. Prayer and confidence. And then prayer and confidence. So yung bahagi talaga ng Psalm 61, dalawang bahagi. There's only two parts to Psalm 61. Prayer and confidence that God will answer prayer. All right, so that's the content of 61. 62 is a little more elaborate, but it's the same, similar. Confidence in the Lord, and then man is unreliable. Boy, ain't that the truth. And then the Lord is my salvation. This is more of the chiastic structure, but we're not showing the X, the chiastic letter in the Greek. We're doing the English alphabet and demonstrating how the psalm moves from confidence in the Lord, man's not reliable, the Lord is my salvation, trusting in the Lord instead of man, and then confidence in the Lord. They parallel each other. This one would be an opposite. This is the heart. The Lord is my salvation is the heart. So kumbaga tinuturo sa atin ng Psalm 62 na umasa sa Panginoon, huwag umasa sa tao, ang Diyos ang magliligtas sa atin, umasa sa Panginoon, huwag sa tao, at umasa sa Panginoon. And so you find that is the chiastic structure of the poetry of Psalm 62. All right? So alam na natin ngayon yung laman ng 61 at saka 62. And so let's go ahead and proceed and read the contents of 61. And he begins with prayer. David begins with prayer. So he says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." So it's not unusual in the Old Testament for the Jews or Israelites or even David to hide himself in a cave. You can see this, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse number 6. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse number 6. You can read that later. But the point being is that David runs to the Lord in prayer and asks to be hid in the rock that is higher than him, that is more stronger, more powerful than himself. Well, this is a simple application. When a believer is overwhelmed with trouble, God gives us the recourse, the refuge of prayer. You see, prayer is that important and that significant. So, importante talaga yung prayer. At bakit hindi ginagamit ang prayer? Dahil hindi naunawaan ng marami ang kahalagahan ng paglalakad sa pamamagitan ng pananampalataya at prayer. And so, when you're overwhelmed, the unsaved people, they run to medicine, psychology, they run to other avenues. I'm not discounting medicine and certain techniques or whatever. You know, no, as a believer, God tells us to seek Him, to go to Him in prayer, and find our refuge in Jesus Christ. Who is the rock? Sino talaga ang rock? Tao? Ha? Sinong paniniwalaan mo? Sinong sasampalatayanan mo? Tao o ang Panginoong Diyos? You see, David understood that prayer and God is his refuge. Testings and trials ought to drive us to prayer. If you're a believer and you want to respond properly to testings and trials, the proper response is not fear, is not foolishness, is not a secular psychology. No, the answer is prayer. Going to God in sincere communication with God through Jesus Christ. Especially if you're a believer. He is the rock that is higher than I. Verse number 3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. You see, a tower is not just for refuge, but it's also a position for attacking the enemy. And so, private personal communion and communication with God is so vital, so important. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. There, you need to take some time and meditate and think about these biblical truths. It will encourage you. It'll bolster your faith in the Lord. See, it's one thing for a person to come to faith in Jesus Christ and be saved, but it's a whole nother thing to walk with the Lord every day. And that's where a whole lot of believers fail. We fail because we neglect prayer. We neglect Bible. We neglect meditation on the words of God and the proper study of the words of God and the consideration of these words. So instead of running to God and the Word of God, where do you run when you're in trouble? Friends, family. Oh, those are important. Those are good. But that is not the prescription of Scripture. God told us to pray and to get in the Word of God and to dig deep and learn these precious truths. Why? Because they will certainly point us to who God is and what God is like. And there's much to know about the Lord. Verse number 6 is a look. David, again, looks to the millennial kingdom and looks to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who will rule and reign in the millennial kingdom. Verse 6 is not talking about David. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. David lived until he was 70, so that's maybe 2.5 or 2 generations. But when Jesus rules and reigns in Jerusalem, he will reign for 1,000 years. And of course, at the end of that, he will set up for the eternal kingdom in the new Jerusalem for everyone who's born again and saved. So anyway, but in verse 7, he shall abide before God forever. Prepare, O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. Verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, and that I may daily perform my vows. Again, daily is a key word. You don't live the Christian life yesterday. Sunday's victory was wonderful, but you need victory for today. Monday's grace was wonderful, but today is Wednesday. You need grace for Wednesday. You see, the Christian life is to be lived daily. And so every day you should pray and walk with the Lord. Every day you should be in your Bible. Every day. Oh, if you read a book, the most important book to search and to study and to meditate is the Bible. Build your house upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Psalm 62, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun. Alam na natin kung anong ibig sabihin nun. A psalm of David, we get that. Truly, listen to how David meditates and talks to himself. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. David was a busy king. He had a lot of testings and trials in life. And he has to talk to himself and remind himself, I have to wait upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He is only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. David encourages himself in the Lord by reminding himself, talking to himself. Oh yeah, I shall not be greatly moved. God's in control. He's my defense. What about you? What do you meditate on? What do you think about? You focus more on the problem than you do the Lord. You'll definitely be consumed. You see, it's Satan's fiery darts. And a fiery dart, if you don't put it off, will spread and will consume. And so David does this. Verse number 3, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall ye shall ye be, and as tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. David is teaching us something about man. Man will say nice things in front of you, but inside they curse you. That's why man is unreliable. You don't put your confidence in man. You put your confidence in the Lord. You put your confidence in the Lord. And there's so much more to talk about and to think about in these verses, but we don't have the time, you see. But we need to take the time and make the time. This study, this Wednesday night Bible study is not good enough. That's not enough time in the Word of God. And you're going to need more time in the Word of God tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening. Friday morning, Friday evening, Saturday morning, Saturday evening, constantly in prayer and in the Word. Then you come to Sunday, then you'll have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, whatever. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, see? And then Monday, you don't live on Sunday's grace. You need grace for Monday. So again, be in prayer and in the Word in the morning. Prayer and in the Word in the evening. Build your house upon the rock of the Word of God, you see. Verse number 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. What are you expecting your help to come from? He only is my rock. Again, rock is a theme. And my salvation, He is my defense, I shall not be moved. God is in my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. And again, as I said earlier, the Old Testament Israelites would hide themselves in a rock to avoid the enemy and to preserve their life and to get away from a situation. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, who is the rock? Who is that? Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So makita natin dito, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. The Bible says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." That rock that followed and provided and protected the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, that rock was Christ. Christ is our rock. One more passage. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." They're talking about Jesus. "But unto them which be disobedient," those who are not saved, those who are disobedient, "the stone," yan yung rock, "the stone," the rock, "which the builders disallowed." They look at the stone and they said, "This stone is not important, throw it out." But that was the most important stone, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. They disallowed. "The same is made the head of the corner." So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 talks about Jesus being the stone, the cornerstone, the most important foundational stone in building a building. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have no foundation. And if you do know the Lord as your Savior, you need to constantly, daily go to the rock and meditate on the Word of God and build your life upon the Word of God. Are you living according to the principles and truth of the Scriptures? Or are you living according to the news? Are you living according to the latest and greatest fads? Are you living according to what your friends and your family say? No. A Christian, a believer, lives. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And that's the Holy Bible. So, verse number 8. Again, trusting in the Lord, not people. Verse number 8, Psalm 62, verse 8. "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him." That's something you got to do. Again, we need to take time and look at these words. "God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, men of high degree are a lie." So it doesn't matter if a man's rich or poor. The poor is vanity, empty, meaningless. The rich are liars, deceivers. See, it's not about man's status. Man is destined for failure without God, without the Lord, because we're not designed to live apart from God. And so we find this here. "Whether a man is of high degree or low degree, it makes no difference. Man apart from the Lord is vanity." We cannot help. Verse number 10, "Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." Don't ever set your heart upon prosperity. Don't set your heart upon money and riches. Set your heart upon the Lord. And you have to constantly bring your mind to this. Constantly go back to prayer and the Word of God. Verse number 11, "God has spoken once and twice have I heard this." If you heard it once, you heard it 1,000 times. Basically, that's what it's saying. "That power belongeth unto God, and the gospel, it remains the same." Verse 12 is like the gospel. Verse 12, "Also unto thee, Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." God is a God of love and mercy, but at the same time, God is a God of judgment. If you heard it once, you heard it 1,000 times. You either trust in the Lord for his mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, or you can be rewarded for your works, which will land you in the lake of fire. You see, there's only two choices. You either trust in yourself, trust in your way, or you can trust in the Lord's way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Turn from self, turn from sin, and take Jesus for your Lord and Savior, and you will have safety in the rock. So, one of the hymn writers wrote a book, a hymn. His name is William Cushing. William Cushing worked with Ira Sankey, who was the music man for D.L. Moody, famous evangelist, saw a lot of people saved. And in the evangelistic campaign, Ira Sankey would sing songs and evangelistic music to get people thinking about the Lord. And William Cushing was a friend to Ira Sankey, and Ira Sankey needed words. And so he asked William, can you give me some words? So William was studying Psalm 61 and 62, apparently. And as William was thinking about Psalm 61, he wrote these words. And we have it in our hymn book. It's called Hiding in Thee by William Cushing. Hiding in Thee. O safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Hiding in thee, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. And the words are so powerful. How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often, when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. So powerful, powerful hymns. Sometimes we should take the hymns and study the doctrines of the songbook. But we are looking at we're not looking at the hymn book of man. We're looking at the hymn book of God in Psalm 61 and 62. And there's so much to learn about the rock of our salvation and how to hide ourselves in him and how to pray and how to talk to ourselves through the scriptures and then be an encouragement to others. All right? And so let's pray and ask God to bless them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time that we have as we explore Psalm 61 and 62, and how we're being pointed to the rock that is higher than us, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to build our life around his words and allow these words to penetrate and to transform us and to change us and to encourage us and to hide us and to protect us and to preserve us, Lord. We thank you for your preserved words that preserve our lives. We love you, Lord, and ask your blessing upon this now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.